Hello and welcome to the Loving Truth Podcast. I'm Connor and I'm joined by Mike. Excited to be with you today for a part two. We actually began last week a short podcast on the idea of church planting. Why is church planting, churches locally multiplying as new churches are kind of brought into existence in new places? Why is that God's plan for the church? We just started to talk about that. Addressed a few things, Mike, that we both kind of would say maybe are distasteful directions that the church planting idea can go, but then kind of tried to grab those things and bring them back to maybe a healthy way of thinking about church planting. So we want to do a part two right now and just wade into a few more questions. Mike, I have one that I could ask just right off the top of my head. So let me just put that out there, but then we can go different places and see what passages we might want to bring up as well. The question I was gonna you know, just ask you is, I think that you see in the Bible the pattern definitely of some maybe more preaching-oriented individuals, men being sent on, Paul and Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus, you know, some of these guys who Paul would say, I trained them in the ministry, in the case of like Timothy or Titus. Mm-hmm. So we can imagine a church having maybe a younger pastor or set of a few guys maybe, you know, in their families being sent out. But what about if someone is not, you know, doing that as their livelihood? And it's just a family in the church. How could a family at Grace Church of Orange be considering how they could be involved potentially in church planning? What does that look like? How would a family process, you know, the idea of maybe using their life in that way? That's a question that's in my head.
That's a good question. Okay. So I'm going to mash up two terms, church planting and disciple making.
Yeah.
Okay. And just say that they ought to be somewhat synonymous. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. When you look at the Great Commission, what it's known as, where it says, go and make disciples and baptize them and teach them, right? And I'm with you always and all of that. Interestingly, then it's an ongoing thing, right? And you think about, I think in the book of Acts, which obviously is descriptive, it's not prescriptive, it doesn't have to happen exactly the same way. But what happened in the book of Acts is, I look at Acts 9, okay? After Paul gets saved and he's going and preaching and all that, it just says in verse 31, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, the church, which obviously was different congregations, had peace and was being built up.
Hmm.
And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it
multiplied.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then you go to all the way to Acts 19 and Paul is in Ephesus. And literally, he speaks in a synagogue for 3 months, okay? And he's reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Some of them are stubborn. Some continue in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. Before the congregation, he leaves and takes the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus, okay? What a name,
Tyrannus. Yeah, strong name, strong
tyrant.
Name.
This continues for 2 years. And here's what it says, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So I think a family at Grace Church of Orange, to answer your question very directly, they want to do church planting or they want to do disciple making in their neighborhood and in every realm of their influence and activity and arenas that they operate in. They bring the gospel in. They live and speak of Jesus Christ and him crucified and buried and risen and reigning and returning. And they do so in a way that confronts people with the truth of the gospel such that they must either remain in unbelief or become or be saved. Hmm. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. To me, that is life. That is life. There it is. I just explained life for the Christian on earth.
Hmm. There you go. And so it's happening now in their lives. Their hearts are passionate about that. And they might say someday, oh, Grace Church has the opportunity to come alongside this other church or to think about this new place where we'd like to see a sister congregation. Maybe I could be a part of that. That's the mindset.
Yeah, like I'll move.
Yeah.
When Grace Rancho, when we helped restart Grace Rancho, families moved. One family from our church moved, right?
Right.
And three or four families from Simi Valley moved.
Right.
And so, yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And I think when someone moves to a different location, first question, not did you find the Trader Joe's nearby? Or did you find your new work? What church are you going to be a part
of? Yeah, that's great.
Right? Yep. What church are you going to be a part of? And who are we handing you off to and all of that? Who are we writing a letter to to their elders and saying, we commend this young couple, we commend this family, what have you. But the problem is, I think we get, what do you think about this? Like, that picture sounds great, but why is it not happening? Like, it's almost like tithing. Why is everyone not giving so much that we're having to say, stop giving, okay?
Yeah.
Like, if everyone gave as God intends, the church would have no problems in any way of supporting any kind of ministry to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
Why is this not happening right this moment?
Hard question to answer. I think a major one is comfort. People get comfortable, you know? You mentioned that churches exist for 50 years, 100 years, and they don't plant. There's no sister congregation to show for it. And I just think you just get comfortable in your own routines, your own life. You know, the church can kind of become inward focused. And there's a cost, definitely, right, involved with leaving. Leaving friends, leaving family, you know? Go from this kind of the mothership church where God has, you know, blessed it over many years, and now it's like we're going to go and kind of start something new, and there's not going to be the same, the same programs, the same depth of community. You know, we're kind of starting with this core group, and it's going to be hard, and there's going to be some lean years in that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Comfort's one reason. There's other reasons too. What do you think?
You know, one thing I'm thinking right now is like the one size doesn't fit all on everything. For example, like, there could be a church that exists for 100 years and we say, hey, there's no sister church to show for it. Maybe in a neighboring town or whatever, but they were supporting 25 missionaries
there
for
the
past, you know,
and
there's multiple churches to show for it. They're just not claiming ownership or parenthood
over
everyone.
Yes and amen. Right.
So you look at all that and I'm thinking, okay, so that makes me think, okay, could it be that a family that wants to church plant is going to support a work over here? Yes, I think that's very possible. But do I also think that God geographically drives us? Yes. I think that God takes us from where we are and wants us to be moving in those circles with gospel.
Mm.
So that gospel's rubbing out on everybody. You know what I mean? Like gospel's shaking out on everybody.
Yeah.
Out of the salt shaker and all that kind of stuff. So I think there's something that we can get too comfortable, right? And then be more about keeping something going versus looking out. But there's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So it's all in the mix.
Yeah. I think one of the things that on the side of, you'll read this in any church planting book, but you know, I think that from the leadership standpoint, there has to be this mindset of like, we want to be willing to let the best go, you know, like they're going to go, maybe they're moving because of work or some other reason, or it's expensive in Orange County. So, you know, they're gone and they're in Idaho now. It's like, hey, maybe we're not planting a church in Idaho, but the discipleship that was happening here hopefully is going to have an impact on the disciple making happening there, you know, because this awesome family just went out and they're mature and they're going to be a blessing wherever they become involved. But I think that I think you always say, as the leadership goes, so goes the church, right? So I do think there's that sense of, man, if the elders, if the pastors who are overseeing the church have a heart for the gospel and its progress and seeing that happen, it's just going to trickle down, you know? Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be laying that on the hearts of the people.
Yeah.
So, anything else from you, Mike?
You know, the elders, you know, you see it in Titus 1, you see it in 1 Peter 5, you see it in Acts 20, where the elders are to shepherd the flock. And I think shepherding the flock towards giving away the gospel and not just holding on to it for their own good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a healthy thing. And I think we have to push ourselves off point. I remember there was this thing where a friend of mine, when you try to get into shape in a certain way, you have to stand. He goes, okay, now brace yourself and I'm going to try to push you off point. And it's like, I think some of that has to happen on purpose.
Hmm.
Like push each other off balance a little bit to kind of shake it up a little bit and not get stuck in cement.
Feet stuck in
cement.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think I hope this came across, but I feel like it's the elders here who've said, we want to be a church that's deploying resources. And we've, like you mentioned, there's two congregations that we've been able to be involved with. And so I'm super grateful. I feel like I've, as a younger guy, I've seen that, you know, which I'm grateful. Yeah, go ahead.
And even right now, we're helping a congregation behind the scenes that no one knows about. It's a hidden thing.
Yeah.
We're sending guys out to preach, you know, at least once a month to a church that is saying, please help us.
Yeah.
And it's like, for the kingdom, we're not trying to put our name on anything.
Totally.
We want to get Jesus' name out.
Amen. Yeah, no, so good. I think it's, like you said, I think that I like that idea of like pushing someone, you know, off center, because the tendency, I think, is to collapse toward it's these patterns. And in any church, there's so much to maintain. You know, who's going to run slides on Sunday? Who's doing the music? Who's leading this and that? Yeah. And if those things, which aren't bad, right? But if someone that can draw focus in a way that you kind of forget about this bigger world out there. So, but I'm just grateful for the ways that God has, yeah, blessed us. So anyways, listeners, yeah, go ahead.
We
go
can
ahead.
Be a little less slick, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the funny thing is, we're not, as a church, we're like the opposite of slick. Like, I was at a conference last week, and it's like, everything was choreographed, you know, and it was in all the lights and this and that and the other. And that's distasteful to me too, you know, it doesn't work for me, but just personal opinion. But we can be less slick, even in our unslickness. It's like, I was thinking about Paul preaching past midnight and Eutychus falls out the window. Wasn't anybody watching, you know?
Yeah.
I guess everybody was getting drowsy. Air conditioning wasn't on, whatever the case. All that to say, like, the organic feel. Like, I think this Sunday, isn't there going to be just you up there with a guitar?
Just me, yeah,
bro,
with a guitar.
Bro, there you go.
There you go.
And no one's going to be like, personally, I'll be like, I'm going to praise Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Amen. Amen. Well, listeners, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the podcast. Until then, God bless you. Have a great day.